Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, we will be concluding the decision of the early church. There will be a decision most likely this week in Ferguson, only God knows what will happen. I pray for peace, that no one will be hurt. No wonder the early church cried out, "Abba, Father, come quickly," because it's only the saving power of Jesus Christ that can remove injustice or whatever's going on. But the early church met. Saul had gotten converted. He was now Paul. The great irony was he was preaching to people that at one time he considered nothing but fodder for hell. And then God changed him. And he began to preach freedom from the law of Moses, that which he was so zealous for. You know what he said of all of that? The law of Moses, touching the law, all of it. He said his blamelessness on the law, his zealotry, everything. You know what he called it? Skubalon. You know what that word skubalon in Philippians 3 means? Dung. Listen to me, if you don't know Jesus Christ, anything you have in this world, Paul says, apart from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, is dung. That kind of preaching got Paul into trouble, especially ironically with his fellow Jews. And as he preached, the Jewish people that he worked with to destroy Christianity were mad as a hornet at him. Because he was proclaiming Christ and freedom from Moses. And you know what they did? They went to churches, said, "You don't listen to him. If you Gentiles want to be following a Jewish Messiah, you've got to become good Jews. Get into the law of Moses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth." And Paul said, "How dare you? Jesus Christ freed us from those kind of things. We're under the law of love." So the church had to get together and have a sit down. The fundamentalists, no fun. I always want to put the fun back into fundamentalism. No fun. The Pharisees, get them under the law. This was the first big sit-down meeting of all the church gathered together. What do we do? Because you know what they were finding out? Hundreds and thousands were believing in Jesus among the Gentiles, and the Jews were not. God had blinded His people. You know why He blinded His people? So that we could be saved. So they got together and say, "What do we do with this? We've got all these Gentiles believing. And there are people saying we got to keep them on the law of Moses." And we saw last week, what did Paul say? Or Peter, excuse me, "We've never been able to keep this." You know, that's what I can't understand about some people. Why they went again under the legalism of Moses when the Jews will say to you, "We've never been able to do it." What was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law is simply this, to make us know we're sinners. How many of you say, "I'm a perfectly good person and I'm not a sinner"? You know, the Bible will tell you differently. You know, that's why I don't think people like the gospel message, because you got to be honest with them. Hey, we're all sinners. The purpose of the law was to tell us you need Jesus. Jesus died on that cross as a substitute for sin. He took your place. That's the love of God. You say, "Does God love me? How much more can He love you?" Then He sent His Son. And every sin that the Bible calls sin that you will ever commit on that day was placed on Jesus Christ. And by simple childlike faith in Jesus, God forgives. God restores. So James now gets up after Peter. And James, by the way, is Jesus' half-brother. What you got to know is, how many of you have families that have trouble in it? Do you know James, when Jesus was on earth, didn't believe his brother? That's tough. But you know who Jesus appeared to, being raised from the dead? You know, you say, "Well, Jesus never appeared to his enemies." You want to make a bet? His family was his biggest enemy except for Mary. How many of you say I have such a great relationship with my... How many of you say I have such a great relationship in my family? Well, I'll tell you something. Many families are split. And there's one thing that James, you know, and his brothers, they didn't believe Jesus. Familiarity breeds what? But then Jesus appeared to him. And I'm telling you something. James was hostile to his brother in this whole thing. And then Jesus said, James... come here. Because James was probably there. Mary was by the cross. They saw their brother tortured and everything. And they knew one thing, he was dead. So how do you convince a brother that knows his brother was dead that he's alive? By the matter of fact, you know James, when he's testifying here, you know how James died? Just before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans, when the Jews were rebelling, they said to James, James, we're going to give you a chance. The Jews said, James, we're going to give you a chance to denounce your brother. He was not the Messiah. He wasn't raised from the dead. And we learn from the church fathers that they took James up to the pinnacle of the temple. You know why they took him up there? Because it was well known that Jesus was taken to the pinnacle of the temple by Satan. You remember that? So they took him back up in mocking of his brother. And they said, James, denounce your brother. You know he's not the Messiah. He says, no, he was raised from the dead. I saw him. And they booted him off the temple and he died 100-some-foot fall. He would never denounce his brother. The one who didn't believe in his brother believed. What made the difference? The resurrection. James 15, or Acts 15, James gets up. After this, and after the multitude kept silent, James, Jesus' half-brother. Somebody read for me John 7. Five. Somebody, where's Cheryl? Are you here? You skip church, Cheryl. 7:5, Cheryl. John 7:5. She was falling asleep on me this morning, so I had... Okay, how do you explain his brothers weren't believing in him? They thought he was crazy, it says in Mark. And now James, his brother, gets up and says, I agree with Paul. Look what it says in this. And after Peter had stopped speaking, James, Jesus' brother, says, brethren, listen to me, Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. By the way, it was never God's plan to save only the Jews. It was God's plan to give the blessings of Abraham to all of us. I'm glad God is in charge of salvation. For if religious people were in charge, very few would get it, would they? God loved the world. And with this words, the prophets agree, just as it is written. James says, why should this surprise us? The Old Testament predicted that the Gentiles would be taken in to God's family. You remember the blessings of Abraham? Has anybody ever said to you, those are the blessings to Abraham and to the Jews? No. First of all, when he said, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you, that in the original Hebrew is you singular. Abraham. You, Abraham. It's not you, everybody. It is you, Abraham. And he said, I will bless them that bless you, and I'm going to give you these blessings. And in Jesus the Messiah, everybody, everybody is accepted into God's family through faith. He says this, the Old Testament, and he quotes Amos 9. And after these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen. That's David the king. He was a what kind of king? A
Jewish king.
And the question is here, how will the tabernacle of David be rebuilt? And I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. How is God rebuilding the throne of David? Through Gentile inclusion. So, practice with me. L'chaim. That means in Hebrew, to life. The tabernacle of David, God didn't say there's an exclusive group of people. God's arms are open wide and all who trust in the Jewish Messiah. And James says, why should this surprise us? And Galatians is going to tell us some marvelous, amazing things about the blessings of Abraham and how all of that comes to us. You ever heard somebody say, well, bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you? Do you know that that applies to God's people in the church? So the next time someone curses God's people in the church, you better not do that. You better not do that because the Bible says we have the in Galatians, we have the blessings of Abraham that are given to us, and he is restoring through opening wide his love and his forgiveness to all people and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known of old. How do you like that? In a sense, the church wasn't completely known in the Old Testament. In a sense, it was also indicated through the Bible, that God would open his arms wide. And guess what? All those in Christ are his chosen people. Paul said, guess what? It doesn't matter if you're on the outside a Jew. What makes a real Jew? Who will read for me Romans 2, 28 and 29? Mark, be a troublemaker for me and read. What kind of translation do you have?
NIV.
Oh, that's okay. That's still good. Go ahead. Read it. Romans 2, 28 and 29.
A man is not a Jew if he is only one outward.
What's outward?
Physical.
Genetically, physical. Who's a real Jew? Go ahead.
Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No. A man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code.
How do you get the Spirit of God in the New Covenant? You get it through the new covenant. What makes you a real Jew? Participation in the new covenant in Jesus. Isn't that radical preaching? I don't think you'll hear that in a lot of churches. Theology gets in the way of what the Bible says. So guess what? Should we build a Hanukkah thing and have the choir climb into that? I'm kidding. See, this was what the early church knew. Listen to me. That God's forgiveness would extend not only to Jewish people, but that God, in His infinite love, loved all men. And Jesus Christ, on the cross, when He died in the sins of the world, He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might receive the righteousness of God. You want to be righteous in God's eyes? Then it's this, Lord Jesus, I trust You as my Savior. I can do nothing except trust in the work that You did upon the cross. And that's what the early church came to in their decision. This shouldn't surprise us. God planned to save all races of mankind. And that's the wonderful news. The word gospel means simply good news. What's the good news? Jesus saves. Remember that sign in downtown Los Angeles that used to be there? Simply put, Jesus saves. And there is not one person that Jesus cannot save. There is not one person that He is not willing to save. How do you get saved? Lord Jesus, I have nothing good in myself. I trust in the salvation that You bring. Listen to me. Church can't save you. Don't you ever let preachers tell you the church saves you. Only people in God's real church have already been saved. Jesus saves through childlike faith in Him.